Hello and welcome to Inside Education on 103.2 Dublin City FM, your weekly guide to education matters in Ireland and further afield. You can get in touch with the programme through Twitter at Inside Ed, by email to insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie or through the programme's website insideed.com. Last weekend was a busy one on the education calendar. Post-primary mathematics educators gathered in University College Dublin for the Maths Counts 2016 conference. It was described as a celebration of best practice in mathematics teaching in Ireland and was organised by the Project Maths Development Team. But the conference we're focusing on in the programme this week is one that was held on Saturday in the Irish Museum of Modern Art. It was the inaugural Arts and Education Portal National Day, and the idea was to share, learn, talk, network, get inspired by and interrogate best practice in the field of arts education. Over 20 workshops and presentations over all art forms were held on the day, and the keynote speaker was John Coulihan, Professor Emeritus of Education at Maynooth University. Many educators have come across the work of Professor Coulihan, either in the history of education or in the work he has done for the Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD. I was less aware of Professor Coulihan's work in arts education until I realised that, along with Seamus Heaney, Ciarán Benson and others, he was a member of the Working Party which wrote a report on the place of arts in Irish education back in 1979. He currently chairs the Implementation Group for the Arts and Education Charter, a joint initiative of the Departments of Arts, Heritage and the Gaeltacht and of Education and Skills. I met up with John Coulihan shortly before Saturday's conference and I started by asking him to outline the source of his interest in arts education.
I've always been interested in the arts and education. Even as a primary teacher in the 1960s, I used to incorporate like drama and things like that into my work in school. I was very interested in youngsters engaging in music and drama, really, were the things that interested me most. I wasn't good at painting or anything like that. But I used to, then in secondary schools, I used to take the kids into the art gallery. I was teaching in Blackrock and I used to take in kids into the art gallery doing the Renaissance, etc., the Renaissance paintings. And they often later on tell me that, that they found that very interesting.
Where did that interest come from? Was it from your own educational experience or was it something you believed was just positive for the children you were teaching?
A little bit going to school myself, particularly the secondary school. There was great interest there in the arts and in particularly drama and music as well, singing more than music maybe. I was interested in Shakespeare and plays, and I'd go to see Ennio McMaster performing Shakespeare in Limerick at the theatre in Limerick and so on. We were in North Kerry. Also as a kid I remember there were adult education classes coming and there was Tomás O'Coffey came and he did a translation of Synge's Riders to the Sea, and I remember about 16 years old being very captivated by that. Matter of fact, when I was in training college in Pats, I set up a drama group, and that was one of the plays, Synge's Riders to the Sea, we did, even though it's all female, but the students played the female parts. But what really caught me about it was the language and the concepts and what Synge was getting at of that area of Ireland and the beauty of the theme, the kind of tragedy of Riders to the Sea. I had it then, if you like, at school, and I brought it into training college, and then when I went to teaching, I was very keen in the arts as well, yeah.
And you were involved in a report in 1979, along with Seamus Heaney and others, on arts education in Irish schools.
Yes, that was a major report by the Arts Council. They brought together a range of artists, Seamus Heaney, Seanan Toomer, Alice Hanratty and so on, and then a person like me from the education world. Ciarán Benson was the secretary of it, and it's sometimes called the Benson Report, called the Arts and Education. This was the first major detailed look at what ought to be the case, what was the case, and what needed to be done. And I think it's still a very well worthwhile report. And that was in 79, and the hopes were, as it emerged, that we would make great progress. But the 80s were not a good time economically. We went into recession again, as it were. And it wasn't really picked up. While some progress was made with the Arts Council becoming more interested in schools and supporting arts organisations for schools, but the full import of it was never really taken up. And accordingly, if you like, things drifted a bit, you know.
Because the opening line of that report was, the arts have been neglected in Irish education, which was kind of a damning indictment of arts education in schools at the time.
Indeed, it was damning but true. And it was quite a desert, really, when the chips were down. It was very poorly supported. And that, regrettably, that continued to be the case. And I was involved with the Arts Council again in Points of Departure in around 2005-6. And we were referring back the need to change again. And again, the points of departure wasn't fully taken on board, though eventually the charter did emerge in a way from that engagement. I was also, as a teacher, I was involved with the Theatre and Education Group team, the Team Theatre and Education Group, which is a very innovative teacher education group. I chaired that for 12 years. And then when the ARC Cultural Centre for Children was set up in Temple Bar, I was very interested in that. One of my former students was the founder of it, Martin Drury, who often talks to me about leading him astray with drama. But anyway, he was one of the key founders of it. And later on, about 2005, I went on the board of that, and I'm still on the board of the ARC Cultural Centre for Children. So all in all, I've kind of been interested, all right.
And you mentioned there the Arts and Education Charter. What is that exactly?
This really is breaking new ground. It was published on January 2013, where the Department of Education and the Department of Arts, Heritage and the Gaeltacht came together and drew up the charter in association with the Arts Council. This brought them together so that they would work cooperatively to try to ensure a greater future for the engagement of the arts in and out of school. But both coming in behind it, both ministers coming in behind it, at the time it was Jimmy Dean and Rory Quinn, their successor supported it. The charter really is, I think, part of a culture change. And I believe there's a wider culture change for the arts and education taking place. The charter is a kind of a linchpin of it, but it's also happening in other arenas. One of the problems in the past has been in arts and education was that there was a lot of compartmentalisation and fragmentation and under-resourcing, of course. That's changing, and there's now greater collaboration and partnership and cooperation.
What arts are covered in the charter?
All arts, including ones that you mightn't expect. Obviously, drama, music, music generation is with us as well, of course. Music, theatre, dance, photography, architecture, storytelling, mime.
Visual arts.
Visual arts, of course, yeah, very centrally, yeah. And even circus arts.
And what about film?
Film, yes, as well. And the IFI junior section is with us as well. And we have them on Saturday now at the Arts Day. Absolutely.
And the document makes a distinction between arts education and arts in education. Can you explain the difference there?
Well, arts education is the traditional thing where arts, you might have, should we say, drama on the curriculum or music on the curriculum as curriculum subjects. They're within the school and they're going on. Now, that's getting a boost as well. But that would have been there, but not as extensive as we would have wished it to be. Music has been on the curriculum for a long time and so on. But then there is the opportunities. As you know, as an Irish society happens to be blessed with great creativity in all the fields, in all the arts, writers, poets, singers, dancers, musicians and so on. And what we've been talking about of arts in education is that whole richness of the arts outside of the school ought to be linked in different ways, both an in and out process, where artists would visit schools and engage with writers and poets and so on, musicians and so on would visit schools, but also where schools would visit the artists and the arts arenas outside and engage in this reciprocal two-way process. The arts in education refers more, I suppose, to the external agencies. The other is more the internal curriculum.
Because a reference is made to a public service education dividend. What is that exactly?
At the moment, some artists gain jauntancy or allowances or support, financial support from the state. And the idea was, in the original charter, that there would be the idea of give back. What we're seeking there is that the artists who are interested and who are attuned to this would be doing it. And that's happening a lot through artist visits to schools in all kinds of ways. But not all artists are geared towards working with primary school children or teenagers and so on and so forth. So we exercise discretion in that regard. We have the goodwill of artists, and many of them are very good and very generous with their time. I could name many of them. But it's more a question of open to their, interest and our sponsorship to encourage it. But it's not a kind of a prescribed thing. It might look more in the print as being more prescribed than what the reality is.
And how closely related is the charter to the primary and post-primary school curricula?
Yeah, we have borne them very much in mind. As you know, the primary school curriculum is very keen in promoting the arts, but quite a lot of the primary teachers, the existing primary teachers, do not feel as confident in many of the art forms as the, perhaps the expectations might be. So what we've been doing there, well, two things. One, at initial teacher education, the new BEd courses and other courses are taking more provision for the arts in the longer courses that are newly designed, and the arts have had a greater input within them. Likewise, the Arts Council have set up at the moment, I think it's 7, if not 8, artists in residences, bursaries in the Colleges of Education, whereby different artists are located in the colleges to work with the trainees, teachers and so on, which is causing a great stir and very sense of excitement. So that has been very beneficial for the initial training of students and education of students, but also the continuing professional development of teachers or established teachers. We've designed a whole pioneering approach now for artist teachers continuing professional development, which was initiated in 2014 and which is continuing now and developing, whereby the artists, selected artists and teachers came together and went away and worked on a residential course together, where they worked closely together and integrated and established new kind of partnerships, new understandings, new mutual awarenesses, as it were. And then they went to the schools and they worked with the schools, etc. And schools who sponsored the teachers then, the idea was to sustain it. And they operated in association with the regional education centres. So, for instance, now the plan for this year is it will take place, the residential course takes place in the Leash Education Centre. There'll be 21 artists and 21 teachers. They'll work together for a year, and then they go as pairs in schools. But they'll also act as animateurs, as trainers for trainers, from the education centres themselves, so that you're getting an incremental accumulation of talent being nurtured and fostered. So we're building up a reservoir, really, of talent who will be attuned to working with kids, working with teachers, understanding the dynamic of school, etc. So I think the potential here over a number of years will be very rich.
And how would you balance the priorities between children experiencing the arts and children expressing themselves through the arts?
We want both things very much. It's a two-way process. In some ways, of course, in the old days, we tend to more to think about the experience of the arts. But nowadays, it's much more proactive. So a great number of the artists' work are dealing with workshops, engaging kids, encouraging kids in art, dance, mime, whatever, storytelling even, and they're very much an engagement. So it's a kind of a two-way process that kids have the benefit of participating in trips to see things and performances, etc. But many of the artist teachers aren't so much presenting as cultivating the engagement, nurturing the talents, giving them painting work and guidance, etc., observing them, drama work, music work, dance work, etc. And I think that active engagement is very rich.
You also, in the charter, talk about an arts-rich school. What would an arts-rich school look like?
We're very anxious to work with schools, and we have had discussions with the inspectors, etc., how to ensure in school planning and all that the arts are part of the whole new scan and school self-evaluation, etc., etc., and that's being nurtured forward. What we're anxious to do is allowing schools their own strengths, not imposing styles, but where you have schools who are very interested or teachers who are very interested in particular art forms, that they be encouraged to engage, and that they, particularly the leaderships of schools, are encouraged. Something like, but not quite the same as, for instance, the Green Flag schools, where people kind of associate them with environmental change and so on. Here, the arts become a significant part of the school. But we are conscious that at the moment, schools feel pretty crowded with curriculum as it is. So what we're trying to devise is a system whereby school leaders and appropriate people in the schools will find it congenial to set out in their school planning, in association with some assistance from artists in their regions and so on, to incorporate activities within the school so they're highlighting, emphasising and encouraging the arts more than maybe in the past, and that they get some formal recognition for this. At the moment, we have an advisory council working with the Arts Council to design the best model, but we're hopeful now that within the coming year we'll have a model. We have input from artists and teachers working under Michael Finneran from Mary Immaculate College in Limerick as the chairperson, and with the Arts Council and the experience of what's best practice. So while it hasn't emerged yet, there's a lot of gestation of thought gone into it, and I would be confident in a period of time that we'll have a good model that will be interesting for international people too, because Ireland is becoming an area, this our charter and the ARC and these things are drawing international attention now too. And what we want to get it across is, well, as well as having a great reputation for the arts in the adult world, that we'll have it also for younger people.
And would you envisage maybe case studies of good practice in terms of arts-rich education?
Yes, we would. And we would use a portal as part of that too, because the great advantage of the portal, which is the first portal for the arts and education in Ireland, that this portal allows a lot of communication and it allows videos to be seen and observed, good practice being observed, as it is at the moment. There's a whole range of stuff up on the portal for all kinds of schools, primary, post-primary, Irish-speaking, urban, rural, etc., where people are engaging as of now with projects and so on, and those who are interested can tap in and see how that's done and engage. And if you like, there's a two-way process whereby they can get a guidance and assistance, and that would be great too.
And the URL for that website is artsineducation.ie.
Correct.
For anyone who's interested.
Absolutely. And it was set up last May. Next Saturday, we'll be celebrating almost a year of it, and it's proved very successful.
Indeed, and you've mentioned that day that's going to be on to celebrate the Arts and Education Portal National Day. You're going to be addressing those attending that inaugural day. Mm-hmm. What will you be saying to them?
The people there on Saturday and the people who are involved with us, in many ways, I'll be telling them that they're shapers of history. They're shapers of this culture change, which is dynamic at the moment and which is in process. And their contributions as part of a framework now will register in so many fields. So that I'd be reminding them that if they're in dance or drama, whatever interests them, that they're part of a broader scenario and how they're all interlocking. Because as it happens, all the arts are there again on Saturday. There's drama, there's architecture, there's film, there's dance, there's song, there's music. And there's presentations and there's demonstrations and there's workshops and there's discussions. And there'll be about 280 people present, committed people. So what I'd be saying is that in itself is a great indication of people's interest. They're coming on a Saturday, they're giving up their time and travelling and so on and so forth, and a huge amount of voluntary engagement. As a matter of fact, that's one of the great things about it, the extent of goodwill and voluntary engagement of so many people in a lot of the things we're doing. It's a great tribute to the public spirit involved.
John, how will the implementation of the Arts and Education Charter be resourced?
Well, at the moment, it didn't have a specific budget when it was established, and that has caused us some problems. But from this year forward now, we will have our input into the budget or thinking and estimates for the two departments, and that will give it a greater sense of security. But we have been supported by both departments, Department of Education, Department of Arts, to some degree, and the Arts Council also has been putting in its contribution. But I would like it. Overall, the arts and education has been under-resourced over the years. That's been the historical legacy. And during the recession, there was very little, chance that this could be remedied. But now that we are coming out of the recession, albeit we still have some road to cover, I think the core issues there need to be taken on board, that to sustain the work here, it needs greater investment. Now, everybody would say that, wouldn't they? But it's really, I think, any neutral examiner of the situation, looking at the rationale of where things are at and the situation that exists on the ground, would realise that to achieve the culture change we're talking about and the enrichment for the young generations, there's almost a million Irish children going at the moment, today, this morning as we speak, to state-supported schools in Ireland. And they are our future citizens. The investment in the arts and arts and education here towards them as part of their broader educational experience will pay great dividends, but it needs more attention and it needs more subvention.
If I could be devil's advocate for a moment, and supposing someone was to say to you, well, you know, really children need to spend a lot of time working on literacy and numeracy in primary schools, and we have our literacy and numeracy strategy and so on, and, you know, the arts, to paraphrase a politician, the arts can wait. What is it that the arts can contribute to a person's education and a person's life?
Wearing other hats, I'm involved in early childhood education a lot. So I'm involved with the ASHTER movement and SHIELTA and the preschool and emerging with the infant school. And in many, many ways, there's great work being done in curricular design of the literacy and numeracy. It's not narrow literacy and numeracy. Literacy and numeracy and is of the overall agenda, and there's great work being achieved in them per se, but it's been done not in a narrow, rigid kind of pattern. It's incorporating a lot of experiences whereby the arts feed in as well. So it's not a divorce between a narrow focusing on 3 hours, literacy and numeracy, and the arts as external. They're interfused and integrated, and that works right up along the system as well. So that we would think, when some people in the employer's world talk about creativity, imagination, cooperation, teamwork and all that as being important for 21st century society, and sometimes talk about mathematics and technology as being the key things developers of that, I think that that's too narrow a perspective. I think creativity, imagination and self-image and cooperation and teamwork is very, very core to the hearts of the arts. And I think the crucial thing for Ireland is to keep that holistic concept of education, whereby the melange of various subjects, the broader curriculum, the holistic concept is what's involved. And I think that the arts are very core to developing the characteristics they're talking about, integrated within the curriculum as it moves. Not a kind of an artificial set apart up on a pedestal, with a bowing to it, as it were, something special, but something normative, something in the daily lives of children, something they take for granted, but which, in the process of engagement, both as activists, practitioners and receivers, that they enrich their whole sense of where they're at, their talents, the world in which they live, and their sense of well-being.
And is there a risk, if arts is integrated with other subjects all the time, that it actually can often be the poor relation? You know, how important is it to have arts as a subject in itself, as opposed to being integrated with other subjects?
Well, that comes back to our earlier distinction. Arts education still exists. Arts education is the curricular speciality, where those who have a particular interest in, say, music or theatre or whatever, or in the visual arts, will specialise in that and do the mainstream curriculum. All the better, maybe, if they understand that the culture of the school is supportive of that kind of milieu. But by no means underestimating that, and it'll be very important that those curricula themselves are updated, etc., and also that the staff have the skills and the encouragement to fully achieve what they wish to do in the art forms per se for those specialising in it. But I think that's more likely to thrive in an environment where those specialists feel that they are part of a family of support structures.
Some parents like to link what children do in school with their future career prospects. Are there viable careers in the arts available to young people in Ireland today?
Yes, I think very much so, directly and indirectly. Designers, architects, etc., etc. There's scope now for performers in all kinds of fields. Irish music and Irish dance and all the other things that have happened internationally highlight the value of that. And kids in all the work and cultures, traditional music and all that, they're knocking great value and kick out of it, and they have it both for their ordinary lives but also for career paths. And I think myself, the opportunities in the world that's opening up will be greater. Sometimes very direct for composers, theatre people, artists, visual artists, dance and choreography, etc., etc. But also, I think, in indirect forms where the creativity they will have evolved can be transferable into various other career paths for their enrichment. And it's particularly the personal skills of, as I say, imagination, creativity, risk-taking and so on will feed into a variety of occupations.
And with contemporary art in particular, but I suppose all art, how do children learn discernment so that they can distinguish between work that is enduring and maybe worth engaging with on a sustained basis compared to work that is frivolous or transient or novelty?
Over time, and in the context of experience, and with trained teachers, artists, in whatever field they're in, there's discipline. There's formal work, etc. And even I see myself now in the ARC, and I go into some of the workshops there at the moment. There's artists helping those children, and while they're given space to do that, nevertheless, there's formal work to be done, there's training to be done, there's discipline, there's sustainability. It's not just a kind of a immediate thing. If you're going to achieve much, you've got to stay with it. So I think that framework there, I don't think that there's a danger, but it's a fair question. It's not just the amusement of children we're involved with here, or that playfulness and amusement have their place, but there's a deeper meaning going on in the nature of what they're involved with, which I think is genuinely core to their holistic development.
You're the chairperson of the implementation group for the Charter for Arts in Education. How would you know, say, looking 5 years or 10 years down the road, how would you know if the charter has been worthwhile or if it's successful or not?
I think by the sense of engagement of those who are involved in the activities. If they engage with sustainability and take it away. In other words, we are a stimulating, facilitating group. But fundamentally, we want it to be taken away throughout the country. One of our plans at the moment, for instance, is to map all that's happening throughout the country, Belmullet or Ballymote or Ballymena, whatever the case might be, so that there's a coming together and people in any part of the country will know what's available, what artistic things are happening, what events are occurring, who artists could be contacted, etc. So what we're nurturing here is a process whereby it's taken on board by the community, where people have sustained interest in this field, where they're turning up. For instance, we're seeing already that we're oversubscribed in most of what we're doing. Like the thing Saturday now, the Arts Day, is oversubscribed. The same with a range of other things. We had to turn down a great lot of people wanting to present at it. So that's beginning to show that it's biting and that people are engaging. And the key concern for me would be that 5 or 6 years or whatever length of time down the line, that there is, you stand back from it and you can say, this is happening here, there and everywhere. And as I say, the culture change has taken place and it's part of what we are. It's part of a greater and richer Irish educational, artistic environment as part of the normal life of Irish people.
Finally, John, you're, as I said, very well respected in Irish education and particularly for the work you did with the OECD over the years. To what extent is the OECD interested in arts education?
More so than they were, I think. More so than they were. I think for a period, some of the international groupings that we liaised with, the OECD and the EU, for a while tended to have a strong kind of, what I call it, accountability, trust in their views of education, and a little bit of, a bit instrumental, and sometimes maybe putting a somewhat narrow focus on some of their thinking on education. But I think that has become enriched as time has gone on and as broader inputs have occurred and as they've listened and learned, indeed. And I think now there's a better balance, and I think they themselves recognise that it's not the most obvious subjects of science, technology and mathematics that are important, but that the broader, richer subjects, particularly the arts and humanities, have to be core as well, and the importance of balance, a balanced curriculum, a kind of a, that I used the word holistic earlier on, but a broader balance. That, I think, now is much more the international orthodoxy than it was.
Good news there, perhaps, for art education in Ireland and beyond from Professor John Coulihan, who is a keynote speaker at the inaugural Arts and Education Portal National Day, which took place last Saturday, 23rd of April. Well, that's all we have time for on this week's programme. If you'd like to feature an idea or an event on a future programme, you can write to insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. You can listen to over 250 podcasts of previous programmes on insideed.com. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney saying goodbye. Thank you for listening.